Always try to glorify the Lord in what we're doing. This last week we've remembered the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died for our sins and was raised for our justification. That's all there is in salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what I'm going to bring to you today is the gospel. When Christ went to the cross of Calvary, there were 28 scriptures at least, 28 prophecies that were fulfilled. In Genesis, the third chapter and verse number 15, we have the first prophecy of the Son of God coming into the world. And the Son of God is going to come through the woman. The woman does not pass through the sin nature into the mankind, it's the man. And Mary was not God. She was not the mother of God. She was a vessel used by God. A fragile vessel, like all of us are fragile vessels. We are all fragile vessels, aren't we? You realize that when you pass 70. in a hurry. And some when you pass 80, if you're that lucky. But Jesus Christ would have lived forever in the body that he lived in, because he lived without sin. He only lived about 33 and a half years as a human, in a human body. John 1:14 says, Kaiho logos sarx agenito, and the Word, or the Jehovah flesh, became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Now we're going to look here and see what happened to him. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, starting with verse number 47, and we're going to read the whole rest of the chapter. This message is set aside to glorify God and the gospel, because this is the gospel. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, Paul told us what the gospel was. It was that Jesus Christ came according to the scriptures, Genesis 3:15. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those that were under the curse of the law, which is us. In the 21st chapter of the book of Acts, James, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, actually brought Paul the apostle on the carpet and said, you're teaching people to go contrary to the law of Moses. And he said, if you're not doing that, then you go through all these vows and pay for all these men's vows, etc., etc., etc. And he did. The Jews are very addicted to ceremony, pomp, and circumstance. People in the world are addicted to pomp and circumstance and ceremony and religious rites, etc. When you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, I remember in 1960, I was given a Bible and I read the whole thing. 1961, my grandmother got killed, and I was just lost because I didn't have anybody else. My grandmother, she had raised me all of my life. I couldn't depend. My mother, just when I was one day old, she gave me away. And I have a little piece of paper in there that my mother and father signed my custody over to my grandmother when I was less than 2 months old. And my grandmother had got killed. My whole world, my whole foundation had dissolved. My step-grandfather, Amadeo Lamucci, was up in the hospital dying. My grandmother died after a week. They were hit by a drunk driver. They were walking across the road in the fog, and he just come a-barreling down through there drunk and been chasing around. and hit them. My grandmother lived 1 week. My grandfather lived 2 weeks. I never said this before. Louis was rough on me, but all I saw from him was truth and standards of life and hard work and dependability. That's what I saw in Louis, my step-grandfather. And I told my mother, since my mother had died, I told my mother, that was my birth mother, I said, I want to take Louis, if he lives, and take care of Louis. She said, his family don't want him. They're not going to do anything to try to save him. And he was pretty busted up. 78 years old, but he was stronger than I was when I was 35. He was a powerful man. In the prime of his life, in all reality, at 78, my grandmother was 53, he was 25 years older, but you would never know it looking at them or anything. But anyway, I volunteered to take care of Louis. My step-grandfather. I volunteered to take care of him, but he didn't live. My whole foundation fell when those two died. Like that. But I read the Bible. I went to the little old church. They weren't preaching the gospel. It was charismatic. You didn't hear the gospel. But I read the Bible. And I was under conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I went forward, and God sent a little angel. She was my ex-step-grandmother, Mrs. Brown. And she told me how to ask the Lord to save my soul and talk to me. And I was saved right there, and I've been saved ever since. But this is the reason why I was saved there. This is when the world changed right here. Matthew 26 and verse 47, and this is the rest of the story. This is how, if you're saved anywhere in the world, this is the only way you're going to ever get saved. It's not what you do or don't do. It is Jesus Christ that died for you and was raised. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up and accompanied with a great multitude with swords and clubs, and the chief priests and the elders of the people. These are all the religious criminals of their time. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign saying, whoever I keep on kissing. He grabbed a hold of Jesus, kissed him right in the mouth, and kept on kissing him. He held on to him. He is the one who sees him. And immediately he came to Jesus and he said, hail, Rabbi, joy, Rabbi. And he kept on kissing him. And Jesus said to him, stranger. That's what he called him. He called him stranger because he didn't know Jesus Christ. He did not have Jesus. Even though he was apostle of God, he was the word is etaros. He is a stranger. He said, sir, stranger. Because he didn't know him. He said, stranger, do what you have come to do. And they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who was with Jesus reached and drew out his sword, and he struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now, he wasn't aiming for his ear, he was aiming for his head. He meant to kill him. And this is Peter. Now, when this gospel was written, Peter was still alive. And this gospel right here would have been an affidavit for Peter's arrest and his death sentence. And so it didn't put his name in here. John wrote later on it was Peter. Because when John wrote it, Peter was dead already. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place. Put it back in its scabbard. For all those to take up the sword shall perish by the sword. And how many people have been perished by the sword in Islam and Catholicism? Religious entities that murdered by the millions. Catholicism killed from 50 to 100 million people. And most of them were Christians. And Islam has killed 270 million and still going. Or do you think that I cannot speak to my Father, and he at once will send 72,000 angels? 72,000 angels. How then shall the Scripture be fulfilled that it must happen this way? This is the gospel, people. At that time, Jesus said to the multitude, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a robber? As if I was a criminal? An outlaw?" Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place so the Scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled. And then all the disciples left him and fled. When the shepherd is struck, the sheep will scatter. And those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, and where the scribes and the elders were already gathered together. But Peter also followed him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest and entered in and sat down with the officers to see the outcome. Now the chief priests and the whole council, and we're talking about the Sanhedrin council, kept trying to obtain false witness. And what does the Bible say? Thou shall not bear false witness. And what kind of a penalty did that carry? Death. And yet they were bearing false witness. When they arrested Paul in the 21st chapter of the book of Acts, they brought false witness, and yet they were the religious leaders. These were religious counterfeits. That they might murder him? That's what it says. They might bear false witness that they might murder him. Thou shalt not... what? Thou shalt not kill... Actually, what it says is, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not murder, but they wanted to murder him. Thou shalt not bear false witness, but they wanted to incriminate him falsely and get him out of the way. How many churches today, how many religious entities would be happy if Jesus walked in there resurrected today? I'm sure Islam would try to kill him. If Jesus walked up there to the Pope and said, "Get out of the way," then a lot of people in this world would be extremely unhappy. And they did not find it, even though many false witnesses came forth. But after only two came forward, there's still two false witnesses. And they said, "This man stated that I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days." He's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. And the high priest stood up and said to him, "Do you make no answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" He's talking to Jesus. But Jesus kept on being silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God." Now he's making what we might call a vow or a proclamation. He's going to talk. He's going to swear by the living God, and the living God is standing before him. "That you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power on high and coming on the clouds of heaven in glory." When's this going to happen? You look up here, that's going to happen right over there at the end of the tribulation period, isn't it? That's when he's going to come and save Israel, this religious counterfeit now. Then the high priest tore his robes. By the way, the high priest is never supposed to tear his high priestly garments. But he's breaking the law, why not break another one? Just breaking one law after another, why not just go ahead and do that? He tore his robe and he said, "He has blasphemed. What further need we have of any witnesses? Behold, you now have heard the blasphemy." Now, if Jesus said he was the Son of God, if he said he was the Christ and he wasn't, it would have been blasphemy, wouldn't it? But he's the real deal, people. "What do you think?" they answered. "He is deserving of death. Let's kill him." And they spit in his face. Now, these are all illegal acts, by the way. They've committed false witness. They've incriminated themselves of murder. They've incriminated themselves of bribery. Why? You know when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, says, "You search out among you." He said, "Moses, this is too much on your shoulders. Search out among you and find 70 men that are beyond moral, the false, that are honest people, that can't be bribed. And then you let them take care of the little matters." And this is the Sanhedrin. This is those people that Jethro had said, but every one of them, except it was an exception to the rule that they weren't liars and thieves and murderers. Jesus looked at him one time and he said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you devastate widows. You make orphans twice what we might call victims." And he said, "You're murderers. You're of your father, the devil." They spit in his face again and they slapped him with their fist. And they kept on slapping him over and over again. And they said to him, "Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is the one who hit you?" There will be a time right over yonder when that will happen. Jesus, right here at that period of time at the great white throne judgment, will tell them who hit him. He will name them right there. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. And a certain young servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." Now the Catholic Church has the church founded upon Peter, don't they? He's a really poor, crumbly foundation, I'm telling you right now. The church is founded upon Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And when he had gone out of the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those that were kept on being around them, "This man was with Jesus the Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath now. Now he uses an oath. The word oath means to fence himself in. The high priest up here, with an oath, he said, "I adjure you by the Most High God, the living God," and he's standing before the living God. Now, Peter uses an oath, and he says, "I do not know the man." And a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for the way that you talk gives you away." Then Peter began to curse and to swear. And did not know the man. He said, "I do not know that man." And immediately the cock crowed. Now Jesus told Peter, Peter said, "I'll die for you. I'll do this, I'll do that. Never shall I deny you." He said, "Before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. Before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times." Between 12 a.m., and 3 a.m. in the morning, the cock crowed at 12, the cock crowed at 3, and just before 6 a.m. in the morning, the cock crowed again. And Peter had denied him three times. You see, the cock crows at 9, 12, 3, and 6, 24 hours a day. That's God's alarm clock. And Peter remembered the words, the very statement which Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and he wept bitterly. Fragile vessel, Peter was, just like you and me. Now when the morning had come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. The night before, Jesus had sat there with his disciples. And they had the Passover, the Hasidur, with him. And at the end of the meal, he took out Elijah's cup, and he took out Elijah's bread, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to them. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body that I give for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, and he passed the cup out, and he said, "Drink. Drink then this in remembrance of me." Now, every year the Jews would say, "Next year in Jerusalem, next year in Jerusalem." But he didn't say next year in Jerusalem. He said, "I will not drink or eat of this supper with you again until I come into my kingdom." Now, Jesus gave us this supper, which we did last Sunday. We had a memorial, we had our cup, we had our bread, and we remembered our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The night before, they'd all sat there, and they all swore allegiance to Jesus. And now, they've scattered. The Savior, the King of Israel, is gone. He's in the hands of wicked men. And they bound him and they led him away and delivered him up to Pilate, the governor. And when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had condemned and he was condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders and said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "So what? We gave you the money. We just committed perjury. We just committed a mortal sin. So what? We don't care. What is it to us? Just take care of it yourself." And he threw the pieces of silver into the very Holy of Holies in the temple. And by the way, that signed his death sentence right there. You couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. But he went in the Holy of Holies and threw the 30 pieces of silver in there. And that was a prophecy also. And he departed and went away and hung himself. And the chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since this is a price of blood." I mean, how ungodly, how hypocritical can you be? It still hadn't stopped them, had it? It still hadn't stopped them. And they counseled together with the money, and they brought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers and for the poor. For this reason has been called the field of blood to this very day. Then that which is spoken to the prophet Jeremiah, the prophet was filled, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver." It's actually Jeremiah, Zechariah, by the way. It's not Jeremiah. Jeremiah was put in there later in one of the translations. Spoken by Zechariah 11, 12, and 13 is actually where it comes from. "And they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel. And they gave it to them for the potter's field as the Lord directed them." Verse number 11. "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him," kept on interrogating him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he made no answer. Now he told Pontius Pilate, "Yeah, I'm the King of the Jews." Now, who was the king of the Jews at that time, supposedly? Herod, the son of Herod the Great. And Herod wasn't even a Jew. His father had been appointed by Antony and Cleopatra over Israel. The real king of the Jews had been Joseph, Jesus' father, worldly father. And now, Jesus, King of the Jews. And while he's being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he made no answer to them. Why in the world do you answer, scoundrels? We live in a world of upside down reality today, don't we? I mean, upside down, right is wrong and wrong is right. If you say something true, it's wrong. If you stand against what's going on in our world today, you're wrong, even though you're right. And that's what's going on right here. This is upside down culture right now. Right is wrong and wrong is right. For 4 years, the Democrats said that the election was rigged when Trump won the election. And you can't say that the election was rigged today and they're trying every way in the world to rig it again? For they have total control of the elections? And you can't say, no, it's wrong? It's the same thing that happened here. It's all criminals. It's criminal behavior. I had a guy come up to me here a year or two ago, and he was working for me up there, and every time I'd give him money, he wanted money ahead of time, and every time he'd look at money, I said, I want you to do the work now, do the work. And he said, do I look like a criminal? Look at my, do I look like a criminal? Yep, he did. Yep, he was. These are criminals here. We got nuts running the nut house. We got criminals in the courthouses. And that's nothing new. We had it right here back then, 2,000 years ago. And he did not answer him with not a single word. So the governor was amazed. Now at the feast of the governor was accustomed to release for the multitude any one prisoner whom they wanted. He's going to release any prisoner. And that's where we call it, you know, this is what we call the scapegoat. Somebody is guilty, he's going to die, and they will release him anyway, no matter what. He's going to accommodate these Jews. And there they were holding at that time a notorious murderer, an insurrectionist, by the name Son of the Father, Barabbas. And when they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? Now, Barabbas had captured even the high priest and extorted money, bribery. He was a man of murder. He had blood on his hands. He would even use his own people. He would go into villages and rape women, young damsels, and extort money from them, kidnap, and ask for extortion money. And Pontius Pilate said, this is really a bad guy. This is Charles Manson of our day. Surely now, if I said, if you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus, they're not going to say, turn Charles Manson loose back on us again. Don't turn Hitler back loose on against. Don't turn Mussolini or don't turn Stalin loose on us or Lenin. But what will they do? For he knew that because of envy they had delivered him up. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent and to him saying, have nothing to do with this righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. Now, Jesus hadn't committed any crime worthy of death. Now, under Jewish law, again, if you brought forth a criminal, if somebody accused somebody of something, theft, bribery, adultery, whatever, murder, and that man, if your witness was false, and the judge said he's innocent, the person that brought forth the criminal charges were supposed to be executed. They were supposed to be executed. So now, let's see what happens here. Who is the criminal among this? Who is the criminal? Is it Jesus or the multitude? Verse number 22. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? And they all said to him, over and over and over again, they kept screaming, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Now, in Pontius Pilate's letter, he said they were stamping their feet and screaming at the top of their lungs, and the whole praetorium was echoing and shaking. He said, it's like the demons of hell had been turned loose upon me. He said, what evil has this man done? But they kept on shouting the more, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a whole riot was starting. He took water and washed his hands in front of the multitude, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. His blood will be upon you. You should die. You should be crucified. You are the guilty ones. Five times he had told them that Jesus was innocent. And all the people answered, let his blood be upon us and upon our children, and it has been. Every Jew that's been killed since this time, their blood is upon these leaders right here. Not upon those hands that killed them, but upon these leaders right here. And he released Barabbas for them, and Jesus he scourged and delivered over to be crucified. Now, what he actually did is he had Jesus whipped to almost the point of death. And then he said here, Ecce homo, behold the man. Isn't this enough? And they said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. And they stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him. After wearing a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. After weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. And they beat him over the head and over his shoulders and over his back with a rod. And they kneeled down before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit in his face. They took the reed and kept on beating him over the head. And after they had mocked him and took his robe and off and put on his garments on him, they led him away to be crucified. And as they were coming out, they found a young man, a Cyrenian, named Simon. Now, but the Cyrene, by the way, is an area where there was a group of Sicarii. These are the Zealots. These are the Jewish Zealots. They're insurrectionists. And they grabbed this one man. There were three Zealots, at least in Jesus' followers. Judas Iscariot, which didn't convert. Simon the Zealot, which we know was converted. And now we have another Cyrene named Simon. And this man they pressed into service to bear his cross. And you could go on and preach a whole sermon on that. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink, mingled with gall. After tasting it, he spit it out. Now, what happened here is they took wine and they mixed it with opium. And it was a painkiller. Not to be merciful, they gave him wine which had alcohol in it and opium. And laudanum and opium was what they used for intestinal problems. That's what Doc Holliday used. He had opium and drank whiskey with it. You administer opium with alcohol. And they were going to do this so he'd live a little longer on the cross and suffer a little bit more. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among them, and they were casting lots. They were gambling for them. They began to keep watch over him there. They put up above his head a charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now, we know later on that the Jews came back and they went to Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate, by the way, had written this with his own hand. Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. He believed that. Jesus said he was the King of the Jews, but he said, my kingdom is not of this world, too, didn't he? He said, if my kingdom were this world, he said, I could call 72,000 angels, and we take over. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Pontius Pilate had told him before that no matter what happens with you, I will protect you. And Jesus looked at Pontius Pilate and says, when my time comes, there's nothing in this world you can do, O Prince. You can't do anything to help me. Yes, I will. No, you can't. And Jesus' words were fulfilled. And at that time, there were two outlaws, two malefactors, two criminals that were guilty with of the Sicarii. These are the people that caused the fall of Israel. Barabbas and the Sicarii, two of these were going to die there. But there were many more. They went out to Herod's fortress, Masada, and they died out there. The whole 10th Roman legion went against them, and they killed every one of them. Or were going to kill every one of them. And they committed suicide with those long daggers, the Sicarii. There were two robbers crucified with him, one on one side and one on the other side. And those were passing by, hurling abuse at him, said, and wagging their heads, just like it said in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. You who destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross. If Jesus had come down from that cross, we'd be dead in our sins today. You know that? In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. Is he the King of Israel? Let him come down now from the cross, and we shall believe in him. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. He trusts in God. Let him deliver him now, if he takes pleasure in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers also, who had been crucified with him, were saying the same insults to him. Now, by the way, some people believe that there were two robbers on one side and two robbers on the other side in Jesus, and there were five people crucified, not three. Now, it's plural. It said the robber said this, but there's one robber that didn't say this, wasn't it? One robber didn't. Now, whether there are two or four Sicarii crucified with him, we do not know. From the sixth hour, from 12 o'clock high noon, darkness fell upon all the land till 3 o'clock p.m. At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. That's 3 p.m. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And by the way, that is Hebrew. It's quoted in another place, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, and that is Aramaic. That's a very close language to Hebrew, but this is Hebrew. This is coming right out of the Hebrew Bible, by the way. This is the Hebrew Old Testament. And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, it's a man's calling for Elijah. They didn't know their own language, did they? And immediately one of them ran, taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine, and again with laudanum, put it on the reed and gave it to him to drink. But the rest of them said, let's see if Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn from the bottom to the from the top to the bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split, and tombs were opened up. Now, whether the bodies came out at this time, maybe the bodies came out and the coffins were there, or whatever they kept their bones in. And all the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now, at Jesus' resurrection, they stood up. These bones began to walk. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered into the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion, those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and all these things were happening, they became very frightened. And they said, truly, this is the Son of God. And many of the women who were there looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them was Mary Magdalene, along with Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And when it became evening, there came a very rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself also had become a disciple of Jesus. And a man came to Pontius Pilate asking for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. Now he risked his life to do this. What happened to the body of all those that were crucified? They hauled them off. They drug them out. They tied onto their feet with a rope and they drug them to the dump, to the garbage pit. They did not have a burial because they were criminals. They did not bury criminals. They dumped them out there in the dump with the dead donkeys and dead dogs, etc., and the garbage. This man came to Jesus and asked for the body of Pilate. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. Now, he had a real quick burial here, didn't we? Then they come back and they do a very elaborate burial. Jesus wasn't killed on Friday. He wasn't crucified on Friday. He was probably crucified on Wednesday. They came back on Thursday. There was several Sabbaths that week, weren't they? And then it says Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now on the next day, which is the one after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate. And they said, sir, we remember that while he was still alive, the deceiver said that after 3 days I'm going to rise again. Now, do you think they believe that? Do you think that they believe they killed the Son of God? Yeah, they killed the Son of God. They knew they killed the Son of God. They knew who he was. They checked him out in every way, but they didn't want him. He was rejected. He said the chief cornerstone was rejected. Therefore, they gave orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead, and the last deception shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, you have your own Herodian guard. Go do the best you can. You know, I'm not going there. My men are not going there. If my men go there, they go over there to look at your men and watch you, not Jesus. Go do the best you can. And they went and made the grave secure along with the guard. They set seal on the stone. In the movie, you know, it has the Roman soldiers there. In reality, we have the Herodian soldiers there. Now it was late in the Sabbath, and began dawn toward the first day of the week. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, now we jump over days, don't we? And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Now, Jesus did not open the tomb, did he? Jesus didn't open the tomb. The earthquake didn't open the tomb. The angels opened the tomb, and what happened? Jesus is not there. Jesus walked through the walls. He walked through the walls. His grave clothes just fell off of him. They were just folded up where he lay. He just walked out of them and walked out through the wall of that cave. See, Jesus could walk through walls, couldn't he, after the resurrection? He walked through the wall of this cave. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garments were white as snow, and his guards shook of fear, and they became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he was lying. The cave door was shut with a stone. Now they opened it up so they could see inside. And go quickly now and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going on before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to report to the rest of the disciples. And we know that John and Peter came and they ran and they saw the same thing. Behold, Jesus met them on the way and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take the word to my brothers to leave for Galilee, and there they shall see me." It's all done. The resurrection has taken place. Now let's see. Verse number 11. Now while they were on their way, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests and all that had happened. Do you think that they want to believe? Do you think that if he'd come down off the cross they would believe? Do you think that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you think they would believe? No. They don't want to believe. God gives every man volition. And you can take that volition and you can worship a dog, you can worship a horse, you can worship a demon god of some sort, or a rock, or whatever you want to with that volition. But there's only one way you're going to get to heaven, is that if you believe in Jesus Christ, Him crucified, dead, burial, and resurrected. And when they had assembled all the elders, they counseled together, and they gave them a large sum of money to lie. Tell them that his disciples came by night and stole him. And if this should come into the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. Pontius Pilate's soldiers were watching them. And they took the money, and they did as had been instructed, and the story was widely spread among the Jews even up until this day. And then 11 of the disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated, and they saw him and they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. Jesus came up and spoke to them, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. And I want you to, after you've been scattered out all over, I want you to make disciples of all the nations wherever you've been scattered. I want you to baptize them. I want you to dip them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to guard with their lives all things that I commanded you, and I'll be with you even until the end of the age." That's the gospel. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out that it might glorify and honor you and your Son and what you did to procure our salvation. It took all that you had to do it.